I'm going to read at this time from the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And we'll start to read at verse number 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and the verse number 1. And we begin with an account of the centurion who we considered this morning, and then we go on to another miracle performed by the Lord. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marvelled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came near and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumour of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Amen. If we could turn again, please, to the passage we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And before we come to consider this passage, let us seek the Lord in prayer, and let us all pray. Our loving Father, we continue before thee in our Saviour's name. We give thanks for that love that we have been singing about, that love of the Good Shepherd for his sheep, and that love that caused him to willingly take our place and to bear our shame and to endure our hell for our sake when he suffered and died upon the cross. And we give thanks for him, for the power and the life and the cleansing that there is through his sacrifice and blood. And we pray through his name that we would know help as we consider thy word. We think of the wonder that it is to have the word of God before us. And yet we know we cannot understand it in our own strength or ability. and we cannot preach it in our own wisdom or ability. And so we pray for the enablement of the Holy Spirit, that thy word would come to each one of our hearts, that there be a word for each one of thy people, that there would be a word for any who are unsaved, and it would please thee to apply the word in saving power to those who are still lost in their sin. We pray that we would know that cleansing from our sin and thy guidance in all things. These things we ask in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has power to overcome every problem in our lives. When the Saviour walked upon earth, he was a preacher. He preached that the greatest problem in this world is sin. And he preached that he is the answer to the problem of sin. Sin brings death. There is death in the world because sin has entered the world. Sin has brought the curse of death. And the Lord Jesus is called in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15, the Prince of Life. He alone can give life, and he alone can save from death. In the first verses of Luke chapter 7, we read of that account that we considered this morning of the centurion whose servant was sick, that servant that he loved, who was dear to him, and how he sent messengers to the Saviour asking for help. And then Matthew's Gospel tells us that he came himself seeking the Lord to have mercy on his servant, and how the Lord performed that mighty miracle, sending a word, speaking a word, that caused this servant who was near to death to be saved from his sickness and raised up again to new life. And such a mighty miracle no doubt had great impact on those who were aware of it, who heard the Lord speaking and who heard of this servant being healed from his sickness. But such was not the end of the Lord's work on that day. Matthew chapter 8 tells us that the Lord had more preaching to do that day. He had more miracles to perform that day. And then here in Luke chapter 7 we read of a miracle that he performed the next day. We read of the Lord Jesus in verse 11 of Luke chapter 7 coming to a city called Nain. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. A great crowd of people travelled with him, the Lord's disciples and other people as well. And as the Lord approached the gate of that city, the city of Nain, he met a widow, a woman who was in great trouble. I'd like to think about her this evening, the widow of Nain. The widow of Nain. We have first of all the loss she experienced. The loss she experienced. This lady had experienced a great loss. It was a great loss. We're told that as the Lord approached the gate of the city, a coffin was being carried out. Verse 12, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. A man had died. His funeral was being conducted. He was the only son of his mother. She was a widow. This lady had experienced great loss. In the past, she had lost her husband. She had been left to provide for her son alone, and now her son was grown up to be a young man, and she hoped that he would help support her as she grew older. And now her only son is dead, and she is left alone. And death brings great loss. Death brings the loss of those who are precious to us. Death brings loneliness and difficulty. Death is described in Job chapter 18 and verse 14 as the king of terrors. The king of terrors. Death is a king because all people are subject to it. Death is a king because its power is great. Death is a king because men fear it, and it creates terror because there is no escape from it. It takes life. It removes what is most precious to us. Death reigns as the king of terrors because of sin. Sin, man's disobedience to God, has brought death into the world, and sin has given to death its power. We read of this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then in verse 17 of Romans 5, "For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Sin causes physical and spiritual death. There is physical death in the world because we live in a world cursed by sin. We are born into the world spiritually dead because of sin. Adam and Eve were warned that if they took of the forbidden fruit, they would die. That's what happened. They did not die physically immediately, but spiritually they died at that moment. They were strangers to God. They were afraid of God. They did not love God. They did not obey the truth. They had corrupted and evil hearts. And sinners cannot please God because, spiritually speaking, sinners are dead. Sinners live their lives according to what they think is best. They do not have true life. They do not have spiritual life. Sinners do not have eternal life. And what a great loss spiritual death causes to those who are not saved. If you're not saved, think about the great loss that you endure because of sin, the loss of truth, the loss of holiness, the loss of fellowship with God, the loss of hope. And I wonder, today, is the king of terrors reigning over you? Is your soul dead in sin? Are you without God, without hope in the world? We're reading of one who suffered a great loss because of death. And think of the things that you have lost. And think of what you will lose, your eternal soul in hell, because sin has brought death to your soul. The loss that she experienced was great. The loss that she experienced was painful. It was painful. Death had taken this lady's son, and that brought pain to her heart. Verse 13 tells us that she was weeping, for the Lord tells her to weep not. She was weeping as his body was carried out of the city to be buried. Death brings grief and sadness and pain. And that is true of bereavements we face in this life, and it is true in an even greater way of the final death that sin causes. The soul that has not received that life-giving forgiveness from the Lord Jesus will one day suffer what the Bible calls the second death. The first death is physical death that sends the soul out into eternity to stand before God's judgment bar. The second death is eternal death in hell itself. The souls of the unsaved are tormented in hell, awaiting the final day of judgment, and the bodies of the unsaved will be resurrected to stand before God in judgment. And one day both body and soul will suffer in God's eternal fire. And this is the second death. We read of it over in the book of Revelation. And we read the verses, Revelation chapter 20, from verse 12. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Something we cannot describe. The second death. The pains of an eternal hell. Hell is a place of darkness and fire and misery forever. And however we try to describe it, we're going to fail. But to die in your sins without knowing Christ and without ever knowing mercy is to be condemned to the pains of hell forever. What those pains are, we cannot fully grasp. But you'll be condemned to the pains of eternal death. The loss that she suffered, it was great. And it was painful. But as we think about this widow of Nain, we can think secondly of the compassion she received. The compassion she received. She received human compassion. She received human compassion. At her time of great loss, this widow received compassion from her friends and neighbours in the city where she lived. Verse 12 tells us that many people from the city went with the widow as her son was carried out to be buried. It says at the end of verse 12, and much people of the city was with her. And no doubt this compassion was a great encouragement to her. The support and comfort of our friends and family is very important to us in times of sadness. And as those who know and love the Lord, we should have sympathy for those who have been bereaved. The kindness and the prayers of those who are our friends and family, the kindness and prayers of God's people are a great help and benefit to those who have lost someone near and dear to them. And we should have compassion on those who are in trouble of any kind. And we can support them with our prayers by giving our time to talk to them, to help them to continue to live their lives. And when someone loses a loved one, they need our compassion at that moment of sadness and also long into the future. As they seek to live their life without one who was important to them, they will need friends and family to stand with them. And the importance of human compassion reminds us of the tragedy of those who die without Christ and descend into hell. There are many, many people in hell, but it is a lonely place. It's a place where there's no sympathy, no compassion, no human help. There are no friends in hell. Only the company of other damned souls who have no compassion and are filled with hatred against God, gnashing their teeth against Him. And if you're not saved today, be warned of the reality of hell. Think of the importance of your friends and of your family in this life. Think of how others support and encourage you at every point in your life. And think that in hell you will be alone, without friends, without compassion, without comfort, as you endure the eternal pains of God's fierce anger that we cannot begin to understand. Human compassion is important to us when we encounter death in our families. But that human compassion, important though it is, it cannot remove our deepest sadness, cannot bring back again the one that we loved. Human compassion is precious. And yet it's limited in its power to help us. And that is why when we are faced with death, we need compassion of the one who is Almighty. For this lady, she experienced human compassion. But she also experienced divine compassion. Divine compassion. She received compassion from the friend of sinners, the Saviour Himself, the one who is perfect God and perfect man. As the body of her son was carried in the coffin out of the city to be buried, as the pain of her heart was great, as she walked along, surrounded by many friends, as it seemed that all of her hopes and joys were gone forever, just at that moment of her deepest grief, the Saviour appeared. Verse 12, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city with her. There were two great crowds who met that day. there was a crowd of mourners who were with this lady. We're told that there were many from the city with her. And then there was the Lord Jesus. He was walking towards the city. And there was a great crowd of people with him. And these two great crowds of people, they meet. And you can imagine the scene. There are many people following the Lord Jesus. His disciples were perhaps eagerly awaiting to hear him preach and teach again that day. Others following him may have heard of his many miracles the day before, the healing of the centurion's servant and all of the events of that day. And that crowd that was following the Saviour with such anticipation, they then, as they arrive at the city, they see another crowd coming out towards them. A funeral procession, people crying, a coffin being carried, many people following. You can imagine the visitors trying to work out what's going on, who has died, what happened to him, how did he die, what about his family? No doubt the people who were at the funeral could not understand why this other large crowd had suddenly appeared. You can think of all of the confusion and the chatter. And in the middle of all of that questioning, in the middle of two great crowds, the Lord sees one woman. Verse 13 begins, "And when the Lord saw her," the Lord saw the one who was in the greatest need. The Lord saw the one whose heart was broken. And the Lord sees you today. Whatever your circumstances, whatever the needs of your heart, he sees you. Out of the billions of the earth, among all those who are gathered here today, he sees you. He knows all about you. He sees your sin. If you're not saved, he sees your need of salvation. And he's full of compassion. He has compassion for you. Seeing this lady, the Lord had compassion on her. Verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." He told her not to weep. The compassion of the Lord is great. He knows our sorrows. He has sympathy for us. He tells this lady not to weep, not because there's anything wrong with weeping at the loss of those we love. The Bible says there is a time to weep. But he tells her not to weep because he had come to bring comfort. He had come to defeat the power of death. And true comfort is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is the one who has true compassion for sinners. In his great love, he came down from heaven. He lived among men. He experienced the sadness and pain of this world at its very worst. And he lived a perfect life. He died the death that we deserve to die. He suffered the just for the unjust. He took our sins upon himself. And he died. He shed his blood in our place to bring us to eternal life. And it was the love of God that made that salvation possible. As we read in those familiar words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you're dead in sin today, if your heart is full of corruption, if you're in fear of death and without hope, without peace with God, there is hope for you. For there's one who has compassion. There's one who is the friend of sinners. There's one who sees you where you are in all of your need. There's one who's able to help you. When you realize your need and turn from your sin and trust in him. So we have the loss that she experienced and the compassion that she received. And then, in the third place, we have the power she witnessed. The power she witnessed. This lady witnessed life-giving power. Life-giving power. She watched as the Lord Jesus approached the coffin in which the body of her son was lying. Verse 14, "And he came near and touched the bier of the coffin, and they that bare him stood still." The Lord touched the coffin and those carrying it stopped. And then he gives a command to the young man who was lying dead in the coffin. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And only the Lord could give such a command. And even though the young man was dead, he had to obey the voice of his Creator. Verse 15, and he that was dead sat up. He sits up. We're told that he began to speak. We're told that the Lord in his love and in his mercy, he delivers him, he hands him to his mother. And what a moment. The Lord gives the command. The young man sits up. He receives new life. He is able to talk. And his mother, whose heart was broken by the pain of her great loss, receives her son again. And Christ alone is the giver of life. And this great and wonderful miracle is a picture to us of the miracle of salvation, the miracle of the new birth. Souls that are dead in sin, souls that have no hope for eternity, souls that are going down to hell, such souls can be raised up by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the one who has risen from the dead. He broke the power of sin and death by shedding his blood, paying the debt that sinners owe to God, and having given his life, he rose again the third day, defeating the power of death forever. And souls that hear his voice, calling them to repent, calling them to trust in him, they are raised up to new spiritual and eternal life. He commands that sinners repent. He commands that sinners believe on him. And if you hear his voice today, speaking in your heart, then obey the voice that you hear. Yes, you're spiritually dead, but his word is the word of power. He commands that you repent. He gives power to repent to all who truly hear his voice. He commands you to believe on him. He gives power to believe on him, to trust in him, to all who truly hear his voice. The Lord Jesus described it himself in John chapter 5. And verse 24 and 25, in John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." May you hear his voice today, speaking to you, warning you of your need, telling you that you're lost and without hope and going down to hell, telling you of your need to repent of sin, telling you that he is able and willing to wash away your sin when you trust in him. Hear his voice saying to you, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Hear his voice. Yield to him and obey his command. Not only was this life-giving power that she witnessed, it was glorious. It was glorious. You can think of that moment. The young man sits up in his coffin, and everyone was afraid. Verse 16, "And there came a fear in all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." They were afraid at the power that had been displayed before them. Death had been reversed. Life was restored. It was a glorious demonstration of the power of God. And people realized the truth of that power that they had seen. And they believed that the Lord Jesus was a great prophet raised up among them. And they knew that God had visited them in mercy. And the Lord Jesus is the great prophet. He is God. He is man. He is the one whose words have power. And he is the one whose words we must obey. Those who will not obey his voice, his words, will not receive life. They will receive death. The Apostle Peter explains this in Acts chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23. Acts chapter 3. Verse 22 and 23. And he said, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." God the Father sent His Son into the world to be the Saviour. The Saviour speaks today through His Word, by the power of His Holy Spirit, and by His life, and by His death, and by His resurrection, He has displayed His glorious power. And do not fail to hear and obey Him. Those who will not hear His voice, those who will not listen to Him, those who will not obey Him, those who will not yield to Him, will be eternally lost. That is your state today. If you're not saved, you are lost, going down to hell. And if you will not hear the voice of the Saviour, then there is no hope for you. We who are saved, we have seen His glorious power. There was a day when we heard His voice calling us to leave our sin and trust in Him. By His grace we obeyed His call. He's raised us up to new life. And His fear is in our hearts. And let us then preach His glorious name all around. After this miracle, the Lord's fame was spread throughout all of the land. Verse 17, and this rumour of Him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Let us tell those that we live among that there is life in Christ. Let us tell sinners being carried down to hell that there is life, new life, abundant life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us encourage one another by speaking of what the Saviour has done, of His mighty, of His saving and keeping power. Verse 18, some of John the Baptist's disciples went and told him about this great miracle. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. John the Baptist was discouraged, sad at this time. But the news of the power and of the work of the Saviour would be the means ultimately of encouraging him and reviving his faith. And often as the Lord's people we can become weary and oppressed as we consider the challenges that we face in our lives and in this world and in the cause of Christ. But may we encourage one another by speaking of the One who is mighty to save. May we remind ourselves of what He has done for us and of how He can do the same for others. May we talk of His glorious power that has saved us and that will keep us until the day that we see Him in all of His glory in heaven. I wonder, do you know this Saviour? The One who saw that lady that day in that vast crowd, two crowds mixing all of the confusion, and the Lord saw her as He sees you today. He had compassion, as there is compassion for you today. And He spoke that word of power that raised that young man to life again, as He is able to speak the word of power to raise you up from your sin and from your death and from going down to hell. Oh, that you would hear His voice. You hear His voice speaking to you. It is His great mercy to your soul. And obey the voice that you hear. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. If you hear His voice, then yield to His call. He will save your soul, and He will give to you eternal life. He will bless you from day to day. He will be faithful to you. He will provide all that you need until the day that you see Him face to face in all His glory. Amen. And may the Lord bless His word to each one of our hearts.